my own. Praise God. Can you hear me? Amen. Amen. Well, it's a joy to be here tonight. We appreciate the Lord giving us a safe trip back down and home last night. And got part of my family with me tonight, my wife on the end over here, and our daughter Brittany, and then a young man from our church, Brother Colton Fenner, plays piano and a little bit with us. We're going to sing two or three songs for you. I told them if they come, I was going to make them sing a little bit and hope that they can be a blessing. Praise the Lord. Most of the songs we sing are songs I've written. We may do one tonight, maybe that I didn't write, but I hope they'll be a blessing to you tonight. This song simply says, "Thank God I was raised in the old-fashioned way." Amen.
My mind gets so fixed by this world that we're in, by battles and struggles and the heartache of sin. Oh, Satan's attack the church of today. They've left God's old past and have found a new way. But thank God for the altar. That's where I got in. That old time conviction revealed all my sin. That old King James Bible, it still works today.
Oh yes, thank God.
Well, that old-fashioned preacher, they say he must go. Just give us a smooth one who puts on a show. Don't sing us them old songs about dark Calvary. Just sing us a new song and happy we'll be. But I'd like to tell you I'm not going that way. I'll stay with the blood and the price Jesus paid. I was born in the fire and the smoke will not do. I'm walking the old path. Brother, how about you? Thank God for the altar. That's where I got in. That old time conviction revealed all my sin. That old King James Bible, it still works today. Thank God I was raised in the old-fashioned way.
God, I'm glad I was raised in the old-fashioned way. It's still the good way, and I like it. Praise God. Let's do a little bit of God's Word will stand, Brother Colton. This is a song I wrote, I guess, been about 2 years ago, I guess. And we're living in a day where it seems like God's Word's under attack like it's never been. Everywhere you go. And what prompted me to write this song, we were, of course, in the little town we lived there in Mountain City, we had the Ten Commandments hanging in the courthouse, but it just takes one foreign fella moving in to complain about it, and the next thing you know, his voice overrides all the people that live there. And we were in a battle trying to keep the Ten Commandments hanging in our courthouse, and I wrote this song. Simply says, God's Word will stand. I hope it'll be a blessing to you.
Thank you.
What has happened to a nation that used to fear the Lord? To a people whose foundation was built upon God's word. We've allowed the world's opinion to chart a different way. But it's time the Church of Jesus Christ should boldly stand and say, God's word will stand against the raging tide of those who criticize and work their evil plans. God's word will stand against the gates of hell with power to prevail in the hearts of men. God's word will stand. They can take it from the courthouse walls, remove it from the schools, teach our children that we're animals, speak against the golden rule, try and hide our Christian heritage from the public eye. But they'll never overcome God's word, no matter how they try. God's word will stand against the raging tide of those who criticize and work their evil plans. God's word will stand against the gates of hell with power to prevail in the hearts of men. God's word will stand. It is forever settled to evermore endure. It's the only way a sinner's heart can ever be made pure. God's word will stand against the raging tide of those who criticize and work their evil plans. God's word will stand against the gates of hell with power to prevail in the hearts of men. God's word will stand. Oh, yes, it will. God's word will stand. God's word will stand. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad it will. Amen. Those have risen up against it down through the years, but they have come and gone. And God's word still stands. Hallelujah to his name. I appreciate my family tonight. I appreciate my wife and daughter being able to come. Our son and his wife wasn't able to come with us tonight, but we're glad to. I'm glad to have them with me tonight. I appreciate Brother Colton Fenner, also a young man of our church, 15 years old, and the Lord's blessed him with a gift to play. And we've already had quartets trying to steal him away from us, praise the Lord, but I'm trying to keep him hanging around the Fletcher family, amen. Now, I appreciate Brother Colton. What a blessing he is. I'm going to ask Sissy. I call Brittany Sissy. That's what my name is for it. And I'm going to ask Sissy. She's my daughter. She teaches fifth grade school. She's a fifth grade school teacher. She's in the great tribulation period right now. Praise God. Teaching fifth graders. Praise God. But anyway, she's a blessing, and I appreciate her so much. I'm going to ask her to sing a beautiful song. I didn't write this song, but it's a beautiful song. I want you to listen to words to it. Hope it'll bless you tonight.
If it had not been for the shedding of his blood. And if it had not been for his amazing love, it's plain to see what a wretched soul I'd be. But through the power of his grace, have been set free. And now my life's been changed. I've been rearranged. Oh, sin has no hold on me, 'cause he broke all the chains, removed all my shame. Now my soul has found peace. Now you can take all the wealth of this world. To what I have within, tell me where would I be if it had not been?
Oh yes, praise the Lord.
Oh, and if it had not been for those nail prints in his hand. And if it had not been for his salvation plan, oh, there'd be no hope. But when he conquered that grave, victory came to him. Oh, and now my life's been changed. I've been rearranged. Oh, sin has no hold on me, 'cause he brought to what I have within. Tell me where would I be if it had not been? Now you can take all the wealth of this world's riches. They won't compare to what I within. Tell me where would I be if it had not been? Please tell me where would I be if it had not been?
God, amen. We're going to do one more song for you tonight and hope that the family's been a blessing. And we have to switch up when my son's not here. He sings lead part of the time, and I switch up and do bass. And so we have to just sing songs we can sing as a trio. We're going to do one more for you tonight, and this is a brand new song. The Lord gave me the words of this song. I don't know if you ever, the devil, we know the Bible says the devil is the old accuser. And he likes to bring up the past against you as a child of God to rob you of your victory. Sometimes he likes to take you back down memory lane, remind you of where you used to be, what you used to do, and how you used to act. But I'm glad there's one thing I can tell him when he does that, is that it's under the blood. I hope it'll be a blessing to you tonight. Down a memory lane of past so long ago, old Satan came right by my side, making me feel low. He brought up thoughts of hurt and pain when I had gone astray. He wanted to discourage me as I walked along my way. He said, "You're undeserving, 'cause I know where you've been. I have a record of your life when you were bound by sin. I know your darkest secrets that you would never tell. What makes you think you don't deserve a place with me in hell?" Well, I heard the old accuser, and this was my reply. "You're right for all the things I've done. I sure deserve to die. My righteousness is filthy rags. My goodness is unclean. There's only one thing I can say to what you've said to me. It's under the blood. Oh, praise His dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life's been changed, not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding Him it's under the blood."
Oh yes, praise His name. Thank God.
Victory was given me when I was born again. He washed my stained and sinful past and put new life within. No longer do I bear the mark that sin had brought my way. With happiness and peace of mind, praise God, I now can say, it's under the blood. Oh, praise His dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life's been changed, not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding Him it's under the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's under the blood. Oh, praise His dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life's been changed, not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding Him it's under the blood. I'm happy reminding
fire of God's word. And it's a special blessing tonight to have his family with him. How many of you have a Bible? The Bible. The right Bible. Amen. Hold it as high as you can. Wave it around a little bit. And let me remind you, friend, if there's anything that will send the devil running, you got it in your hand right here. How blessed we are this week to have a preacher to preach God's word to us. Brother, you come right on.
Amen. God bless you, Dr. McAbee. Thank you. What a blessing it is to be here on this Saturday night meeting. And I trust that the Lord has already blessed you for being here, and appreciate the Lord allowing us to be able to sing a little bit. We learned a long time ago they're a lot better singers than we are, but not any of them enjoy it more than we do. And we just love doing what our little part is for God. And I appreciate the Lord and just letting us have a little part in his service. And I appreciate the Lord. You pray for us that God would help us as we try to be a blessing to God's people. That's our heart's desire. And pray that God will just accomplish that will in our life. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 8 tonight. And I'm going to give you just a simple, quick thought tonight. On this Saturday night, part of them went to the grocery store tonight. Amen. I bragged on them last night because they didn't go to the grocery store, and they got me tonight and went tonight. Amen. But I'm thankful for those of you who are here and in this Saturday night camp meeting. And I trust that the Lord will speak to your heart through this little thought that I'm going to give you tonight, and hope we can be a blessing to you. Mark chapter number 8, and I want to start reading in verse number 22. You'll find the scene that I'm reading tonight. Some people had brought a blind man to Jesus. I'd often read this scripture, and I really, you ever come upon a passage of scripture and you read it and you really can't fully grasp what's going on in the scene, and you know there's something there, you know there's something deeper maybe that that you just can't really understand. And I understand some of y'all got more knowledge than I do, and you probably understand things a lot better than I do. But I'm a little slow, and sometimes I have to have God just open my eyes to see some things in the Word of God. And here's one of those scenes. Here in the book of Mark, chapter number 8, and verse number 22, the Bible said this, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly." Father, we thank you tonight for the reading of your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd enable me now, God, to bring this message to the heart that needs it the most in this place. Father, I pray, Lord, more than anything, Lord, more than my ability or more than anything that we can do tonight, Lord, may you take your word and may it find that lodging place tonight in some child of God's heart here tonight. Lord, help me with your word tonight. Lord, I need your touch tonight. And Father, I pray, would you speak to hearts in this place? And Father, we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Here in the scene that I've read, the Bible said that he cometh to Bethsaida and they bring a blind man unto Jesus. And that's not unusual within itself. When you read the Bible, you study that they were often bringing the blind and the lame and those that had sickness and infirmity to Jesus to be healed. But here's the scene the Bible said that when they brought this blind man, it's a very unusual dealing here that the Lord has with this man. The Bible said that Jesus led him out of town, and the Bible said this, that he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of town, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. Now this is where I always really was really puzzled, because you know, I know the Lord has the ability and the power to give a blind man his sight. The Lord has the power to, I mean, he could speak the word and it will happen. But here's a blind man, Jesus takes him out of town, spits on his eyes, touches him, and asks him, said, what do you see? And here's what really always used to puzzle me. This blind man looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking.
In other words, he said, I can see, but I can't see clearly. I can't tell the difference between men and trees. He said, I can't see clearly. And the Bible said then that Jesus put his hands again upon his eyes. And I want you to notice this phrase here, and made him look up. The first time in this scene in Jesus dealing with this blind man, he looked up on his own. When Jesus asked him, what do you see? The Bible said he looked up. But the second time, Jesus had to make him look up. You know what that implies to me? And you say, preacher, you're reading something into the scriptures that it don't say. Well, I do know this. I know body language. And when somebody hangs their head and you have to make them look up, I believe that might say that a man was getting discouraged in the middle of the greatest thing and the greatest blessing that he had ever experienced in his life. Here's a blind man. Matter of fact, I'm preaching on this subject tonight. One thing you need to remember, what this blind man needed to know, in the middle of your experience and in the middle of your touch with the Lord, just remember this: God's not through yet. I mean, sometimes we get in the middle of the process and the Lord is taking us through the process that he has for our life, and we get discouraged because maybe it's not like we thought it would be, and sometimes things are just not clear, and sometimes we're looking for help and it don't seem like we're getting it. Just remember this: there's a Savior that's still got his hand on you. Boy, I tell you what, we couldn't unsleep tonight if we went home tonight thinking that God was through touching us and God was through helping us. Wouldn't we be a sorry lot of people tonight if we thought we'd received all the help we're ever going to get from God? But I'm here to tell you, and I'm thankful to tell you tonight, that we're serving a Savior that's still working on his people and still helping his people and still touching his people. Thank God, I can tell you tonight, he's not through yet. Amen. Here's a blind man. You say, preacher, what will cause? I'm preaching on the thought of discouragement tonight. It can happen to every one of us. Matter of fact, in these days, it happens quite frequently to God's people. I ain't never seen a day the devil wants to make us hang our head. I mean, right in the middle of getting a blessing, here the blind man is. He's come to Jesus for his sight. All of a sudden, Jesus said, what do you see? He looks up and says, I can't tell the difference between men and trees. And no doubt in his mind, this old blind man hung his head thinking, man, I knew I was too bad. I knew my case was too hard. I knew he couldn't help me. I knew he couldn't do me like he'd done the other blind men. I've got news for you right now. Sometimes when you're on the verge of the greatest blessing in your life, the devil fights the hardest with discouragement, and he wants to make you hang your head, throw in the towel, and say it's no use and it's no hope. But I'm glad, praise God, I can tell you one thing right now: God wasn't done yet in his life. Amen. You better believe that right now. Child of God, you may have come in here tonight with your chin dragging the ground. Lift up your head, child of God. I'm glad there's a Savior tonight that's still working and still helping and still touching his people. Amen. Say, preacher, what will cause a man to get discouraged? I'll give you these four things and I'm done tonight. Number one, when you've received less than you expected, it's easy to get discouraged. Here's a blind man. No doubt they were bringing him to Jesus and they had been telling him, now if we could just get you to Jesus. He gives blind men their sight. Matter of fact, he can speak and the winds and the waves obey his will. I mean, this is a man that when he speaks, dead men get up and walk around. He's got all the power ever needed to give a blind man his sight. And all of a sudden, here he is. He's thinking, man, what in the world? I mean, here I am. I'm going to get my sight. I'm going to be able to see. And all of a sudden, Jesus touches him and asks him, said, what do you see? He looks up and he says, well, it ain't quite what I expected. I can't tell the difference between men and trees. You know what the problem was? He got his eyes on men. He said, I see men. Let me tell you something. If you want to get real discouraged, get your eyes on men. If you want to get real discouraged, just start watching men and people in this life. But thank God, I'll tell you, here this man was. Jesus is right in front of him. And all he can talk about is getting his eyes on men. I got news for you. It's about time we got our eyes back on the one, amen, that's able to help our troubles and our struggles in life. Get your eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Receive less than you expected. I remember as a little boy growing up in the mountains, and around Christmas time, my mom and daddy, you know, they always try to provide a little something for us. And I know a lot of people, I'm not here to argue about that with you or anything like that, but I remember as a little boy, you know, you didn't get much growing up. And when I grew up, you started planning for Christmas about 6 months ahead of time. You lay that Sears catalog out, and you'd circle stuff in it and just leave it laying open on the coffee table, hoping mom and daddy'd see it. And you had something that you had on your mind that you really wanted. And this is the way it usually would play out for me. It'd come Christmas morning, and my mom and dad's awful bad to do. They'd pull this kind of trick on me every Christmas. They'd gather us in, and it'd come time they'd have a few little old gifts for us. And they'd have, you know, you're anticipating, man, you as a kid, you can't even sleep the night before thinking about what's going to happen on Christmas morning. And they'd hand you a present, and you're thinking, boy, this is it, this is it. And you open it up, and it's like a pack of underwear or something. And you know you're thankful for underwear. I mean, you really are. Or at least you ought to be, praise God. I mean, we all got to have them, amen. But you know, that wasn't what you were looking for on Christmas morning. But you didn't want to show disrespect anyway. Just thank you, mom and daddy. And you know, they'd give you another little thing or two. And then it looked like it was all done. And you're sitting there and you're just trying to keep a brave face because what you really had your heart on hasn't materialized. You've done opened up some stuff, but it wasn't exactly what you wanted. And then I remember my mama, she'd always be sitting around there, and all of a sudden she'd say, you know, she said, there's one more present over behind. What's that over behind the couch? Honey, go over there and see what that is behind the couch over there. And she'd always go over there, and they'd pull out that big present, the one that you had your heart set on. And boy, I tell you one thing right now, the wait was worth it on Christmas morning when you pulled the wrapper off of that thing that you'd had your heart set on. I got news for you, child of God. Some of you've got less than you expected in your Christian journey. Sometimes you look up and say, boy, I thought it'd be different than this. I thought it'd be better than this. I thought it wouldn't be filled with heartaches and trouble like it is. I got news for you. We ain't opened the big present yet. Amen. Hey, there's coming a day, praise God, we're getting ready to pull the wrapper off of that one. Hey, that one we've been waiting on, thank God. I'm glad, praise God, we're going to hear the shout, amen, and we're going to get the prize, amen. Aren't you glad, praise God? Just remember this, when you hang your head in discouragement, God's not through yet, amen. When you've received less than you expected, it's easy to get discouraged. Number two, when the process is not what you expected. Here's a blind man, and they brought him. And no doubt they've said, now you need to hear this man speak. Ain't nobody ever spake like this man. And here's a blind man, no doubt, thinking, wonder what he's going to say to me. Wonder what he's going to say to me. I mean, they say, man, he ain't nobody ever spake like this man. What's he going to say to me? And then all of a sudden, when they bring him to Jesus, said, here's a blind man. Jesus took him by the hand, led him out of town, didn't say nothing to him, put his hands on him and spit on him. Have you ever prayed for a touch and got spit? I mean, no doubt, here's a blind man. He's standing there, he's thinking, what's he going to say to me? What's he going to say? What's he going to say? And all of a sudden, he spits in his face. And he's probably thinking, man, there must be something bad wrong with me, because this wasn't the process that I was expecting in this journey. Can I say to you, sometimes the process we go through with the Lord is not exactly what we signed up for. But I got news for you. God knows better than we do. And I promise you, whatever He's taking you through, He's doing it for His honor and His glory and for your good. I remember there's a dear lady in our church a few years ago that somebody invited her to church. She'd been out of church, and she got back in church, got things right with the Lord, and she'd been serving the Lord about a year, a little over there in the church, and she got sick, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong. They did some tests, found out she had a brain tumor, and they said that they did some surgery, and they said it's a fast-moving kind, and said she's probably got 6 months to live.
And I remember that she was, I guess, in her mid-40s, maybe early 50s. And I remember she would just, she'd come in and she'd testify and she'd praise the Lord. And I remember one Sunday we were up in the choir and the folks were singing and praising God. And one of the ladies had been to the doctor that week and she said, you know, preacher, I'd like to thank the Lord. Said, I just want to praise the Lord. I got a good report this week from the doctor. Of course, we all said, well, praise God for that. And that's a wonderful thing. Another one spoke up, said, yeah, I got a good report this week too, preacher. And all of a sudden, this lady standing there, and she'd had brain surgery, and she had her head shaved, and she's standing there, and she said, preacher, could I testify? And I said, you sure can. She said, preacher, I'd like to say, tell everybody today, I have a good report. And after the service, I was a little confused. I asked my wife, I said, did she say she got a good report this week? She said, no, honey. She said she had a good report. See, there's a difference in getting a good report and having one. You see, I'm glad that when you've got Jesus, when the doctors don't give you a good report, I'm glad you can have a good report, because she understood this. She said, the process I'm going through, I don't understand it, but I do know there's one that's still working, and he's not done yet in my life. Some of you right now say, well, I've got cancer, I've got a sickness, I've got something that's going to take me out of here. Yeah, and just understand this, God's not through yet. You're not what you're going to be. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad he's going to give you a body one day that'll never be racked with pain, never have a cancer cell in it, never have a heart problem. Thank God, aren't you glad that we're serving a God that's not through yet? Amen. You say, preacher, what'll cause you to get discouraged when the process is not what you expected? He got spit. Number three, what'll cause you to get discouraged? When you've went the extra mile and things seemingly haven't worked out. Here's a blind man. This always puzzled me too. And I guess, you know, there's a reason I know the Lord. The Bible said Jesus led him out of the town. He went farther with Jesus than the other blind men did. And you know, sometimes when you've given everything to the Lord and you've just went farther and you've given everything you've got, and then it seems like things aren't working out in your life, it's easy to get discouraged. You say, man, I've done all this for God, and now it's just not working out. I've seen people that say, you know, preacher, when my kids were small, we took them to church and we tried to train them right and we tried to teach them right and we tried to do this and we tried to do that. But preacher, when they got up out on their own, now they went out into the world and they're out there and they're doing things that breaks our heart and breaks the heart of God. And preacher, I just don't understand. I don't understand. You need to understand this, that God's not through yet. You need to understand that even though, praise God, they may be out there, there's a God that's out there and there's a God that's able to bring them back to the place that they need to be. Amen. Don't hang your head. Don't get discouraged. Don't you quit praying. Just remember this, in the midst of your discouragement, amen, remember this, there's a God that's still working on you, amen. When the process is not what you expected, when you've went the extra mile and things haven't worked out, and finally, last of all, when you've had an undesirable experience, it's easy to get discouraged. Here's a man, and something happened to him that none of us would desire to happen. Somebody spit in his face. Jesus spit in his eyes. Now, this is just my opinion, and I was reading this, and the Bible said the first time Jesus touched him and spit on him and asked him, said, what do you see? Do you see all? And he said, I see men as trees walking. But don't you notice the Bible didn't say Jesus spit on him again. The Bible said he touched him again and asked him, then what did he see? Made him look up, said, what do you see? He said, I see every man clearly. This is just my opinion now, and you can disagree with me, and you'll be okay, because this is just my opinion. But here's a blind man. He's standing there, and he's got spit in his eyes. I mean, nobody wants spit in it. I remember when I was a little old boy, you know, your mama gets you ready to go to church, and you know how boys are. You get out knocking around and playing a little bit before church, and then you get in the car headed down the road to church, and your mama looks around in the car and says, where in the world did you get that dirt on you? And you know, they ain't no running water in a car. And you know what your mama would do? Your mama would say, come here, boy, and she'd start
start rubbing spit and you're rubbing your face with, I mean, a spit bath. Ain't nobody wants a spit bath. Ain't nobody wants a spit bath. Undesirable. But here's a blind man. He's standing there and he's got spit in his eyes. Jesus says, "What do you see?" He said, "I see men as trees walking." And I could see that old blind man hang his head. This is what I can almost imagine Jesus saying, oh, come here just a minute. Let me wipe that spit out of your eyes. Now what do you see? He said, "I see every man clearly." You know, there's a lot of people tonight, they sat at home, they used to be in the house of God, but some undesirable experience happened. And what they really need to do is let Jesus wipe the spit out of their eyes. Amen. And get back to where they need to be with God. You might be here tonight and you're discouraged. You've hung your head for whatever reason. Just remember this. God's still working. He's not through. It may be the process you're going through is not what you expected. It could be that you went the extra mile and it seems like it's not working out. Just remember this. There's a God that's not through yet. Let's bow our head tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask you tonight as we stand to our feet and as the pianist comes and the musician come, I want to ask you tonight, if you have a need in your life, if you need encouragement, you need strength tonight, I want you to come tonight and bow here in this old-fashioned altar. Just bring it to God, whatever you're burdened with tonight. It could be tonight that you're facing some struggles that you don't understand. Some things are not clear and you just can't figure out why. What's happening? Boy, I tell you, I'm glad there's a God that's not through yet tonight. And I'm glad He's able to help you tonight. And I want to ask you tonight as we prepare to play, just a moment, I wonder if God's speaking to your heart, and I'm going to turn it to the preacher in just a moment. Anybody else here tonight, you feel that need, say, "Preacher, I just want to step out and ask God to help me tonight." Anybody like that tonight? Father, we thank You tonight for this privilege to be under the tabernacle. Lord, I pray that You take the little feeble attempt tonight of the message, and God, use it among Your people. And Father, we're going to give You praise now for what You do. Encourage Your people, I pray. Encourage Your men, I pray, in this place. Father, we'll give You praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, preacher, You come.
Number 85, turn in your songbooks. As these are down here praying, God's spoken to us again tonight. Maybe you just need His touch on your life one more time. Amen. While we sing.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way.
Let Him have His way tonight.
Thou art the
He may need to touch you tonight. You say, well, preacher, he touched me last camp meeting, the last revival. Well, I tell you, I read over in the book of Daniel where Daniel said, and he touched me again. Amen. I tell you, when God touches us, I believe we'll see things more clearly. Amen. We'll understand more of God's purpose, God's plan as we go through this life. Thank God for his touch. Thank God for his presence tonight. Thank God for the word of God once again. God's man has delivered God's message to our hearts once again, and I praise God for it. Amen. I trust tonight if you've not obeyed God, why don't you come on down here? Get it really right with God. Look to the Lord for that you need in your life. Amen. Amen. Let him have his way. His way is the only way. His way is the right way. His way will be the clear way. Amen. Have you obeyed God? Have you done what he said for you to do tonight? Don't leave this tabernacle without knowing that you've done business with God. Don't you appreciate the message tonight? Amen. Thank God for his word. Let's pray for Brother Leonard and his family as they travel back up the mountain tonight. Be back in his service tomorrow. Now, they have CDs over here. And go by over here and check them out. And I'm sure someone will be over here to...